KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:02, we have partly cloudy to cloudy skies and 2 degrees above zero in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy here today, a high of 15. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. A law firm says more than 70 Iowa communities are getting a total of more than $3.5 million from the settlement of a lawsuit filed against a Swiss manufacturer of the herbicide atrazine. The Iowa City Press Citizen says Iowa City's share is nearly $141,000. Spokesman Jerry Brown for Corine Tillery, a law firm that handled the lawsuit, says a dozen Iowa communities will receive anywhere from $100,000 and $350,000 each from the $105 million settlement. A lawsuit against Syngenta was settled in October. City officials say Iowa City water customers are no longer being exposed to the weed killer, which can run off of farm fields. The city began operating a new water treatment facility in 2003, and the water no longer comes straight from the Iowa River. I'll have a check of area news coming up next.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
A 32-year-old Western Iowa man has been given 37 months in prison for his role in a conspiracy to steal copper from center pivot irrigation systems. Federal prosecutors say Jonathan Campbell was sentenced Tuesday. He's pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit interstate transport of stolen property. Campbell was ordered to pay more than $174,000 in restitution. Copper control cables were stolen from farms ranging from Sioux City on south to St. Joseph, Missouri, from late 2009 until the summer of 2010. Prosecutors say the cable was sold to a salvage yard in Omaha on at least 73 occasions. Two other Council Bluffs men involved have been sentenced already. 35-year-old Charles Nichols was given 31 months in prison, and 30-year-old Joseph Faulkner was given 12 months and a day. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa reports a Pottawatomie County man was sentenced Tuesday to slightly more than 2.5 years in prison for being a person prohibited from possessing a firearm. 25-year-old Charles Edward Duncan of Council Bluffs received his sentence from Chief U.S. District Judge James Gritzner in U.S. District Court in Council Bluffs. U.S. Attorney Nicholas Kleinfeld said Gritzner sentenced Duncan to 34 months in prison and ordered him to serve 2 years of supervised release following his imprisonment. Duncan is also required to pay $100 to the Crime Victim Fund and forfeit the firearm and ammunition found in his possession. Duncan, the victim of a recent shooting, was allowed to remain under the supervision of the U.S. Probation Office to receive further medical care for his wound, pending the Federal Bureau of Prisons designating the facility at which he will serve his term of imprisonment. The indictment against him alleged Duncan was an unlawful user of controlled substances, in this case marijuana, and that he had, prior to possessing the firearm, been convicted of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence. Either circumstance barred Duncan from possessing a firearm. The charge arose out of the execution of a state of Iowa search warrant by the Southwest Iowa Narcotics Task Force on April the 11th of 2012 at Duncan's residence in Council Bluffs. During the search, officers found various indications of marijuana use by Duncan and an AK-47-style rifle along with ammunition. Duncan had, on November 15th of 2011, been convicted in the District Court of the State of Iowa for Pottawatomie County of a misdemeanor domestic assault resulting in physical injury and was, at the time of the search, subject to a domestic abuse protection order. Well, the Atlantic City Council on Wednesday approved the final plans and specifications for reconstruction and renovation of the Sunnyside Tennis Courts. Mike Jorgensen with Snyder & Associates Engineers in Atlantic told the council only one bid had been received for the project last July, which was considerably more than the engineer's cost estimate. Jorgensen attributed the lack of bids to the timing of the project.
In taking phone calls from contractors, the large concern was the timing. We had 3 to 4 contractors not bid just strictly because of the timing. So ideally, we would hope on this go-round to get 3 to 4 bids.
Changes have since been made to the plan, with cost savings realized through work done by crews of the city's park and recreation and street departments. The work involved removal of the fence, light poles, and old asphalt surfaces, which was a huge part of the process. The project was then sent out to be rebid. The bid date was tentatively set for February 19th, with the results to be known on February 20th. The council last night passed a motion setting the date for a public hearing and bid letting for February 20th and a resolution authorizing the receiving of bids. They also approved an agreement with Snyder & Associates for engineering services for the 2013 sanitary sewer improvements. City Administrator Doug Harris said that will be worked on. The streets that will be worked on include those on Cedar Street from 2nd to 10th, Locust Street from 2nd to 7th, Lynn Street from 2nd to 8th, and Locust Street from 7th to 14th, those particular sewer lines.
These are lines that we've had a lot of problems with the infiltration and a lot of roots. There's a new, instead of having to replace the line now, you can do what's called cured in place type relining. So they will go in and with our televising, there will be some point repairs that will need to be made in those lines before that lining's done, but those will be corrected.
The total estimated cost for which, and including 12% engineering fees, amounts to an estimated $238,000. The bids will be requested later this winter. And the council passed a resolution setting February 20th as the date for a public hearing and bid letting for the 7th Street Traffic Signal Improvement Project, which is expected to cost around $179,000. The project will be funded out of bond proceeds and some operating funds. Todd Knox with Snyder & Associates said the project includes needed modifications and improvements to stoplights along 7th Street at the intersections of Plum, Olive, Walnut, Chestnut, and Poplar. By far the most frustrating intersection for motorists is the 7th and Olive Street one. Knox says the current three-light, four-way configuration will be replaced with a four-light, four-way system.
What will happen is those three-section heads that are kind of over the left turn lanes now, they'll be replaced and put up this four-section. It'll be four arrows all pointing left. What you'll see on top is a red arrow, then two yellow arrows, and a green arrow on the bottom. The lowest yellow arrow will flash when you're able to turn left when the opposing traffic is coming at you. So, like if you're on Olive heading south, and there's nobody coming north at you, you can turn left when there's the green ball next to you and coming at you. Where now it's only protected only.
The timing of the signals will be adjustable locally and in sync with each other along the affected stretch of 7th Street. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits is at its lowest level in 5 years. It's evidence that employers are cutting fewer jobs and that they may step up hiring. Weekly claims fell 5,000 last week to a seasonally adjusted 330,000. Britain's Foreign Office is telling its citizens to leave the Libyan city of Benghazi immediately because of an imminent threat against Westerners. Officials aren't commenting on the nature of the threat, but they advised against all travel to Benghazi since September, when an attack on a U.S. consulate killed U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens and 3 other Americans. It's expected to be smooth sailing for Senator John Kerry, the Democrat nominated to replace Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. Kerry, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, will be questioned today by his fellow committee members during his confirmation hearing. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta is expected to announce today that military women will be able to serve in combat, and that would lift a 1994 ban, but the change won't be happening right away. A White House official said President Obama will nominate Mary Jo White as the next head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC. White served for nearly a decade as the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, specializing in prosecuting white-collar crimes. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In the funeral announcements, Don Tiedemann, age 89, of Fontenelle, died January 18th at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Don Tiedemann will be held today at 1:30 at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Carl Gilman, age 95, of Stewart, died Tuesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Carl Gilman will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Ralph Gailson, age 81, of rural Westside, died Monday at the Manning Plaza. Funeral services for Ralph Gailson will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Marilyn Harder, age 76, of Greenfield, died Monday at the Greater Regional Hospice Home in Creston. A visitation for Marilyn Harder will be held from noon until 8 p.m. on Friday at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Carl Richard Burnham, age 70, of Stewart and formerly of Dallas Center, died Sunday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Carl Burnham will be held tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. George Morton, age 89, of San Diego, a native of Griswold, died January 13th. Graveside services for George Morton will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Whipple Cemetery, northwest of Griswold. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Marvin Osborne, age 93, formerly of Avoca, died January 18th in Arizona. Funeral services for Marvin Osborne will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Stephen Anderson, age 62, of Harlan, died Monday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Stephen Anderson will be held Friday at 5 p.m. at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Arlene Stem Stevenson, age 102, of Arlington, Texas, died January 19th in Arlington. Funeral services for Arlene Stevenson will be held Saturday at 10 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Menlo. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Jane Claver, age 77, of Harlan, died Monday at Murtu Medical Center. A massive Christian burial service for Jane Claver will be Saturday at 10:30 at St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Panama. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Ralph Harrington, age 64, of Round Rock, Texas, died January 18th. Graveside services for Ralph Harrington will be held Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Cedar Park, Texas Cemetery. Beck Funeral Home in Round Rock has the arrangements. Jim Cady, age 98, of Coon Rapids, died January 19th at Thomas Rest Haven in Coon Rapids. Funeral services for Jim Cady will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home of Coon Rapids has arrangements. Lois Hill, age 91, of Manning, died Tuesday at St. Anthony Hospital in Carroll. Funeral services for Lois Hill will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Sharon K. Blott, age 64, of Elkhorn and formerly of Avoca, died Wednesday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Sharon Blott will be held Monday at 11 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. And Irene Sterrett, age 96, of Audubon, died Monday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Services for Irene Sterrett are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements this hour on KJAN, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.